Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20. We began a series a couple of weeks ago. And that series is called Understanding Purpose. Understanding Purpose. We've covered a bit of ground. And so if you've not been around, you can go to our website or YouTube channel and just catch up on what we've taught so far. Everyone has a purpose. You know, there is no purposeless person on earth. We have purpose. Amen. So in Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says, the purpose in a man's heart is like deep water. Do you have the Lexham English translation? We've looked at this. I want us to look at the Lexham translation. Amen. Says the purpose in a man's heart. Yeah, good one. That's it. Say deep waters are like purpose in the heart of a man, and a man of understanding would draw it out. So purpose is in the heart. And we've come up with four elements that characterize purpose. There are four things that are peculiar to purpose that you will know this is purpose. Number one is what? We said your purpose is in your heart. That's what it says here. It is like deep water. You don't have to look around to find purpose. You just need to look in your heart. The Lord has planted your purpose for being in your heart. The things that you desire in your heart, the things that you are prompted to do, hallelujah, the things you are passionate about, God put it there. It's not by accident He put it there. So you see, it's like deep water. The thing is, it is there. We need to draw it out. We need to draw it out. So the second point we said was, your purpose is not accidental. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. It is something we need to draw out. It is there. God has planted it. And then we say your purpose has to be good. Yes, must be good. Yeah, God never plants anything that is bad in us. Amen. Your purpose has been planted. It's a good seed. So anyone who is doing something that is not good, it is not a godly purpose. It is not a divine purpose from God. So number one, it is in your heart. Two, it is not an accident. Third, it has to be good. Number four is that your purpose is not primarily about what you are doing. You know, so it's not like I need to become a doctor and that's my purpose. You can be a doctor, but that's not purpose until you are making an impact. Amen. So your purpose has to be in the area that you can make an impact. So you should be driven by the impact, not by the title or the profession. Does that make sense? Yeah. Amen. You know, it's okay. I know that in the world we live in, most of us are doing our profession to pay the bills. Praise God. To make ends meet. But you know, if that's all you are doing in life, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be fulfilled. You'll never be happy. Because your fulfillment is in your purpose. So it's not, we're not to pursue things and titles as though they will give us fulfillment. They will not. It is the impact that we are making. God has brought us to this world to make a difference wherever we are. Wherever you are here to make a difference. You know, for some people, that may look like something too big. But that's what God put in you. You've got to value what God put on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And we've looked at many examples of people who made an impact. And the people were not like, they were not coming from big backgrounds. You know, it doesn't matter what your status is, your background is, God can use you. Hallelujah. And so I want to, you know, I always like us to look at some questions, and I want us to ask certain questions, you know, of ourselves. So the first question is what you are doing or what you do making a difference? Making a difference, amen. Is what you are doing making a difference? So this is a question you want to answer and make sure that you answer it well. And that does not disqualify you. It just gets you thinking. You know, questions are to reveal what's in your heart. And questions are to get you to make changes. Do you know that? Our Lord Jesus was always asking questions. Do you know, when he met a man who had been, the Bible says he's been unwell for 38 years at the pool, what did he do? He asked him, do you want to be made well? Why will you ask? Because the question is to reveal what's in your heart. And the question is also to get you ready to make the necessary changes. So is what you are doing now, what was the question again? Making a difference. Amen. So if it is not, what should I do? Make adjustments. Hallelujah. What impact, that's number two, what impact are you making in your world? What impact are you making? Because this is all linked to purpose. What impact am I making? Am I making an impact in the world, or I'm just living day by day and day to day? And you know, your world is actually your home, your family, your school, for those who are in school, your workplace, your community, your church, and your society. You see, the people who are making impact in these areas are the ones who are fulfilling the purpose of God. They are fulfilling God's purpose. And number three, is that number three? What are you contributing to make the world a better place? You know, these questions should provoke something good out of us. Because many times we are pointing at people who should be making a difference, isn't it? It's not us, it should be that person and that person. But God planted something in you, it means the world is missing out. And you know, the state of our world is based on those who are doing something and those who are not doing something. The people who are not making an impact is not because they don't have something. It's because they are not doing it, either through ignorance or through what? Their choice, amen, or laziness, amen. Well, I believe most people is ignorance. They're not aware that they can make a difference. They believe, you know, maybe if I become the prime minister, I can make a difference. When I become this, I can make, well, you know, David was like a nobody, isn't it? He was just keeping the father's sheep. And through that, he was able to defeat Goliath. Hallelujah. He made a difference. Joseph, only he was actually a foreigner in that land. He was sold out into slavery, and he made a difference. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's knowing that there's purpose in your heart, and God planted it there because he wants to make a difference in our world. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then the last one, the last question is, what are the outcomes, the results, and the effects of your work? What you are doing, whatever you're doing, what's the outcome? Hallelujah. If you are in a company, are you seeing the outcome? Are the customers, are they living satisfied and happy? Are they getting the result that they need to get? So you need to make an impact. What's your impact your work is making on people, on places, and on what? On situations. When people come with certain situations, they come around you, do you impact their lives that they go back and they say, well, thank God I met Nick. Amen. Thank God I met Loris. Thank God. People should be giving glory to God. The Bible says men will see your good works and they will do what? They will glorify your Father in heaven. That's a good way to live. A life of impact where you are helping to promote the will of God in the lives of people. You know, through obedience, we see that Joseph drew out purpose. Hallelujah, out of his life. You know, he drew out. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. And it says, the Living Translation says, God has given each one of you some special abilities. Amen? Amen. Say, each one of us. You know, so nobody is excluded. And why would God give you something if you're not using it? God gave you so that you can use it. So if you don't realize that you have a gift, you have a special ability, many of us know it, and it's in your heart, there are things that you know that you have been gifted in that area. And God will use it to make tremendous impact if you are ready to use it. Hallelujah. So God has given each one of you special abilities. Be sure to use them, you see. See, God can't make us use them. We have to use them. Be sure to use them to do what? To help each other. You know, isn't it amazing that God wants people helped? God wants people helped. That's why he sent us who? Jesus said, you know, I will pray the Father and he will send you another helper. God is in the help business. Glory to God. So he wants you to be the ones, the channels by which he helps the world, by which he brings solutions and answers to the world. So he says, help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. So as you are fulfilling your purpose, what you're doing is that you are passing blessing on to people. You are being a blessing to your world by fulfilling your purpose, by using the gifts and the talent. Everybody functioning within the church, you are using your talents, your gifting to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are using your gifts and your talents at home, you're being a blessing to your family, to the people that live with you. Amen. Amen. You know, maybe at home, maybe you can ask somebody and say, what impact am I making in your life, in this home? Hallelujah. The people you live with. You can just ask them, am I making any impact in your life? Praise God. That will change the way you live at home. Because you are supposed to make an impact wherever you are. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So I like the Good News Translation. Look at the way it puts it. Good News Translation says, each one as a good manager of God's different gifts. So the gift God has given to you, he expects you to manage it well. You are a manager. Other translations say steward. You are a manager. You see, you say, oh, well, I'm not just an ordinary staff. I'm lower down the what? The pecking order. You are not low. You're in management. As far as God is concerned, you're a manager. Manager over what? Over the gifts and the abilities that he's given you. Over that thing that is inside you. Over that precious thing that the world needs. You may think it's small. You know, that's why I love when the Lord Jesus said, if you give a cup of water, he said, you will not lose your reward. What is he trying to say? You know, whatever you do, no matter how small, no matter how little, because you do it in his name. You do it knowing that God has given me the ability, the capacity to be able to do this. When you do it, guess what will happen? You see, people are blessed and God rewards you. You see, the reward from God is not only in this world. There's going to be a time that God is going to give out rewards when we get to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's going to be looking at what you did with your gifts, the purposes that he has given to you. But you can't use your gift if you don't have purpose in your mind. It's purpose that allows you to be strengthened to use your gift, to be passionate about using your gift. Praise God. He said, each one as a good manager of God's different gifts must, can you see the word, must use for the good of others. And this is the key. You see, many times we live for ourselves. We must not allow our need for things to overrule our need for purpose. You see, we need things. But the Bible says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. How many know that we need to pay our bills? How many know that you need to put petrol in your car? Amen. How many know that you need money to go on holiday? You know, you need things. God is not saying you don't need things. You need them, but he wants you to be more full of purpose than you are full of needs. You see? Because when you are full of needs, you are not trusting God. So you've got to balance your need for things with what? Your need for purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. You've got to balance it. Every time you're thinking of things, think purpose. What impact am I making? How can I make an impact? Don't think what people will do for you. Think what you will do. Hallelujah. So he says, must use for the good of others the special gift he has received from God. You know, he's not talking about you praying for gifts from God. He's already telling you that you have it and you should use it. So what we are talking about is not for us to pray for some special gift. You have it, you just need to discover it and use it. It's there in your heart. And I know many of you already know what you are passionate about. And most times what we do really is we are waiting for someday, sometime, isn't it? When we're gonna do it, someday. Have you heard the phrase, tomorrow never comes? Because today was tomorrow yesterday, wasn't it?
Yes.
And tomorrow will be today when we enter it. So we don't procrastinate when it comes to the things of God. You know, Paul said when he received the call, he said, I did not do what? I did not consult with humans. I didn't say, let me go and consult with my family first before I do the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says the special gift that you have received from God. Hallelujah. And you know, these gifts are whether in the area of ministry, within the body of Christ, whether in the area of academia. You know, some of you, maybe that's the area that God has gifted you to express your purpose within the educational system, academia. It could be in the workplace. It could be in the marketplace. The marketplace is the areas of business and commerce. You're making an impact, you know, and God will cause that thing to grow and to prosper so that you make so much impact. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, there are many Christian business people who are making huge impact. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Bringing glory to God. If that's your area, you've got to begin to use it for purpose. Think purpose, don't just think the business. Think purpose, don't just think the profession. Maybe in the area of technology. Maybe God has given you, you know, those potential to be able to create things, to make things. Do you know that a lot of the people in those days who were inventors and scientists, they were Christians. They were believers. And every time they were able to make an invention, they gave glory to God. It's there, even in their document, their papers, as they are writing all the calculations and mathematical equations, they will put scriptures along with it. Because God, they are recognizing that it's God who has given them that intellect, he's given them the wisdom to be able to do it. So maybe we have inventors, young people, you're an inventor. If you are, then you begin to think, how can I make use of it? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Start by inventing little things at home. Inventing how to make sure the dishes are clean. Amen. Amen. Don't wait till you see one big machine and one big computer, you know, mainframe and all of that. No, you don't need to. Just start small. Praise God. Start applying yourself. That's what they call self-application. Apply yourself to good works. Application. Whether it's in the area of healthcare, or, you know, the technical areas, customer service, real estate, property, whatever it is. Don't do it like people who are just doing it for things. Do it for people who are doing it with a purpose. Amen. Glory to God. Whatever, whether it's in the area of government, management. You are a manager. You are in management. You are to manage the resource, the gifting, the talent God has given to you in charitable work. Hallelujah. Amen. Whichever area it is. So now it says, you know, purpose. It's like deep water in the heart of a man. A man of understanding will do what? He will draw it out. So we want to begin to look at how I can draw it out. How I can draw it out. And, the first thing you've got to be, the first quality, so I'm calling them top qualities for purposeful living. Top qualities. Or top qualities for a life of purpose. Whichever way you want to do it. And that's how you draw it out. Number one is obedience. Say obedience. You know, obedience is almost like a curse word in this day and age. When you say obedience, we say, whew, what's going on? Don't ever tell me about that one. You know, obedience is a God word, and it's a good word. Nothing works without obedience. Nothing. Amen? Nothing. Your job will not work if you don't obey to do it. You see, if you wanted to see a disorganized society, you will see disobedience is at the very heart of it. If you want to see order, you need obedience. Obedience it matters to God. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. So the first thing you've got to be is to be somebody who loves to obey. Wow. You have to be passionate about obedience. Thank you, Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Then Samuel said, "Does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in what? In obeying the Lord." So he's asking Saul, because Saul had disobeyed. Saul was king, he disobeyed. He feels that, well, all I need to do, if I get those things and I sacrifice them to God, then God will be pleased. He will ignore my disobedience. That's what he's thinking. As long as I bring sacrifices, I do this, I do that, then God will overlook my disobedience. No, God can't. Do you know that the only reason the world is the way it is today is because Adam and Eve disobeyed? The only reason there are devils and demons in the world is because Satan disobeyed. So disobedience is not, in fact, the Bible calls it, it's like witchcraft. It's like witchcraft, divination. And so he says, do you think, Samuel is asking him now, do you think that God takes pleasure in burnt offerings as in obeying the Lord? Look, to obey is what? Is better than sacrifice. It's good to do sacrifices for God and all of that, but he's not saying that that's not good. But he says, which is better? To obey. You know, the greatest thing that God asks children is that children obey your parents. You see, if a child doesn't want to get lost, what do they need to do? Obey their parents. Why would you obey your parents? Because you don't know the way. And it's talking about children, isn't it? And the Bible says, for this is good. Is it good? So every time you see God talks about obedience, it's good. And he says that he may be well with you. That he may be well with you. So why is God saying all of these words? That he will be well with you. Because without obedience, it can't be well. And so the first thing you've got to do is for purpose to be able to come out of you, you've got to enter that lifestyle of obeying. Children, listen to me. That's the way to be drawn. Did you see what happened to Joseph? Joseph was able to draw out his purpose because he obeyed the father saying, go and look out for the welfare of your brothers. That's all he had to do. If he was a child who is always disobedient, maybe you tell the dad, no, I'm on my PlayStation at the moment. No, we're watching a program and this person was in court. It was a court, a program, real life situation. And the person was saying, and they got into a fight. And the whole thing started because he was supposed to do something. But he said, I was playing a game that it, what? A time-sensitive game. It means he couldn't leave. So he was meant to attend to something. This is an adult. It's like 30-something years of age or 20-something. He said, I was on a time-sensitive game. Have you ever heard such a thing? Oh, maybe you've heard it before. Oh, yeah. So he's not ready to get up. And of course, he found himself in court because things happened. He did what he should not have done because it was on a time-sensitive game. So you begin to, when you are doing something, you know, and you are called, to do something that is purposeful, meaningful, get up. Start learning it as a child. Because it is what you learn that you will do in future. Obedience draws it out. Okay, so we look at Joseph. How about Esther? How did Esther become queen? Through obedience. Everything the uncle asked her to do. You know, we look at these people and we think, oh, Esther became queen. Esther was an orphan. She was an orphan. No father, no mother. And she was with her uncle. And everything her uncle, you know, the uncle would say, do this, do it like this. And then when she got to the place, when they were going to choose the queen, there were people who were handling them, the handlers. And everything, every advice the handler gave, she obeyed. You see, God is not in disorder. When there is disobedience, there is disorder. Amen. And so she could have said, well, these people who want to, you know, I'm not going to listen to you. But she would not have been queen. She was favored. You see, your favor is in your obedience. It's in obeying. That's what draws it out. It drew it out of Joseph, drew it out of Esther. And not only, you know, Joseph did not just become the prime minister or whatever title we want to call it in Egypt. He was able to stop world hunger through obedience. One simple act of obedience, he was able to stop world hunger and famine. Well, you know, you say, I want to stop every hunger in the world. They ask you, go and bring this. I'm busy. You can't stop world hunger if you cannot obey. My God. Purpose can never be fulfilled without obedience, because you will be required to do things. You will be given instructions. Hallelujah. I hope you're enjoying this. You've got to love it. I want to say to provoke you to start loving obedience. In fact, maybe you put it on your fridge. Obey. Amen. Hallelujah. Because, you know, people like Joseph took it serious. Esther took it serious. She saved and delivered the whole nation. That's why Joseph said, God sent me here to preserve life. I know my purpose. I had to obey to be able to preserve life. It starts with obedience. It does. Abraham was obedient, wasn't he? God asked him, leave and go here and go. Immediately, when God said he should sacrifice Isaac, you know what the Bible says? He said, early in the morning, he rose up. God asked you to go and make sacrifice of something precious to you. You won't sleep all night. Then the morning when you should take off, that's when you start sleeping. You see? And then maybe you look out and say, oh, it's snowing. Then the next day is raining until the time passes. You know what God will do? He will find another person. Praise God. He has to, because the job has to be done. Somebody's going to stop the hunger. Somebody's going to help the people. Somebody's going to do it. So God has to move to another person. Praise God. So obedience is key. Abraham was obedient. Now he's called the father of faith today. Purpose. And God told him, he said, you will be a father of nations. Abraham is not the father of one nation. He's a father of nations. Wow. Through what? Obedience. That's how it starts. It starts with obedience. If you don't try to do any other thing, you know what? Saul was trying to substitute it. He said, I'll do this one. No. God said, no, you've got to do this one first before you do the other. Praise God. I said, praise God. And we know Paul as well. He obeyed. He obeyed. Obedience. It's important. I say it's important. Amen. What was that scripture again? Did I finish it? 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Amen. He says, now, I like that. He said, look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To do what? To pay attention. You see, you can't obey if you don't pay attention. To pay attention means to take heed, to listen. I'm trusting the Lord to help all of us to start paying attention. Paying attention. You see, when you pay attention, what you are doing is you are allowing God to be able to come into your heart and give you directions. Do you know how God leads? Psalm 37, because of time, I've got to go quick. Psalm 37, verse 23. He says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. The godly are people who know God. Amen. He directs. You see, God does not, he doesn't lead you in, you know, he doesn't take you from A to Z. When it comes to him, he can make you take big steps in life. But when it comes to him, he leads you in steps. So if God is going to lead you in step, what do you think you need? You need attention, to pay attention. Because if you can't listen, if I tell you go here, and you say, well, I want to go there. So you've got to listen. You've got to pay attention. That's why paying obedience is key to God. Really, it's not just God. It's key to everybody. How many parents love obedience, their children to obey? How wonderful life will be if all children obey their parents. Praise God. How wonderful Christianity will be if every believer obey the voice of God. How wonderful our world will be. Obedience is key. Because in obedience, you know what? Obedience shows you are humble. You know, people think humility is when you just do your thing. No. Humility is found in obedience. It means you have let go of self and you've submitted to the authority. Amen. Obedience. So he says he leads, he delights in every detail of their life. So God delights in every detail of your life and he's going to be giving you instructions. So you've got to learn to pay attention and learn to do what? To obey. So right now, God is speaking to us. He said, you should love obedience. Amen. Amen. So you start with that. Say, Pastor, I want us to move to the next. No, don't move anywhere. Take this one. That's the first step. First step is got to be done. It will deliver you from danger if you can obey. Thank you, Master. So God leads in steps. God loves. It's a great value to God. Let's look at our master. We looked at different examples. Let's look at our master himself, our Lord and Savior and Redeemer Jesus. How did he become the Savior of the world? How? Obedience. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2. If he was not obedient, we would not have a Savior. And we would all perish in our sin. Philippians 2, verse 5. This is the Message translation. I love it. It says, think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. The King James says, let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, let it be. Let the same mind. I think the NIV says the same mindset. This is how Jesus was. See, you see, he taught. So, verse 6. Keep going. He had equal status with God. Did he have equal status with God? Because he is God himself. But didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Now, if Jesus had thought of himself God, he wouldn't have come down. Say, me? That's why I said humility is in obedience. Once you are obedient, it's a sign that you are humble. So he had to not look at himself, because can you imagine, Jesus had to pray in John chapter 17 that God should restore the glory that he had. So he had to leave the glory and come down without that glory. He had glory on earth, but nothing. You see, the glory he had, there was no way anybody could talk nonsense to him. They would not. You know, if you go to heaven now and you see God, all of the people say, why is God... They will fall down on their face. When John saw him, you know what John? John, who had seen him here, when John saw him, he said, I fell flat on my face as one as dead. So he left that glory to become human just like us. Obedience. He said, not at all. When the time came, he set aside what? The privileges of deity and took on what? The status of a slave, became human. Do you know what it means for God to become human? You know, if you were like maybe chief executive in a company and they call you and say, tomorrow you're going to be on the shop floor. Oh my God. The whole company will come down. You will crush everything. You see? But this is God becoming human. Having become human, he did what? He stayed human. Let me tell you something. I don't know if you know this revelation. Jesus is in a human body in heaven. That's it. It's still a human body. It's a glorified body, but it's a human body. That's why I say he stayed human. So, what happened when he died, when he rose, with the resurrected, the Bible says, as you see him go, so he will return. So he went in that body. He didn't return to being just the word, that is spirit, that you can't see, that you can't touch anymore. That's why we are called joint heirs together. Why did the Bible call him the first begotten from the dead? He's the first person to raise from the dead with the resurrected body. You know, Lazarus died and rose, but he died again. He hasn't yet got the resurrected body. Christ is the first. He stayed human. Obedience. So look at this. He didn't claim special. Okay, he was what? He was an incredibly what? Incredibly. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a what? Selfless, obedient life. Obedience is selflessness. So if you're obedient, you're humble, you're selfless. He didn't claim special privileges. That's why I love Jesus. Amen. He left the glory. He left everything. Why would anybody not want to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Glory to God. Oh. Lady Ara used to say, oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder. The wonder. So he didn't claim special privileges. Instead, what did he do? He lived a selfless, obedient life. That's what he lived. That's why I told you, you've got to love obedience. That's how we should live. And then the what? He died a selfless, why did he call it obedient death? Because in his going to the cross, it was obedience. That is, he could have chosen not to go. So he could have been obedient in coming and disobedient in going. But he was both start and finish. Don't say, you know, I used to obey when I was 9 years old. But now I'm a grown up now. You start with obedience and you finish. Oh, this is powerful. And then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. It's the worst. Let's keep going. Verse 9. Because of that, what? Obedience. See now. Because of it, because of the obedience, God lifted him high. So elevation is in obedience. We're talking about a year of elevation. Every word you hear, every instruction you hear, pay attention. Start from home. Start from wherever you are. And as you obey, because of it. So God lifted him high and honored him. Why would we take God, Jesus, to be obedient for God to? Because that's the way God works. High and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever. Amen. So that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow in worship before this Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Obedience is number one. You know, I've got 5 more to go, but not tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Just thank God for his word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us your word, your truth. Thank you because we are obedient children. We are. We are obedient children, and we will follow your will, your ways, your word. We will learn to pay attention. Learn to pay attention. We pray that we will humble ourselves to listen to instruction in the name of Jesus. Lord, it is through these instructions that you lead and direct us. And so, Father, we pray, Lord God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we will pay attention wherever we are. Wherever we are at home, we pray for our children that they begin to love instruction, to love obedience, to cherish it and hold it dear, because therein their purpose will be revealed. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We give you glory and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.